G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions. First time on deck for season 2017. And shit, I'll tell you what, it's bloody good to have footy back, big fella.
Isn't it, White? Certainly more questions than answers in my mind at the moment from a season-long perspective. Who's going to be the top four? Who's going to fall out of the eight? Those sorts of things. Can the Dogs, after 60-odd years in the wilderness, actually put up a strong defence? Where do you put the monolith that looks like GWS?
Yeah, very hard to bet into them at this point of the year, just from a pure list analysis perspective. But man, it's going to be a really interesting season of football. I think we're in for a cracker. If the preseason is anything to go by, and look, let's be honest, it's generally not a great guide. But the style of football that seemed to be played across the board was very much more possession on the outside, hard running through the lines, and big scoring. We saw so many games go 195 plus in the JLT Community Series, and hopefully that's a precursor for what will become, I guess, a bit of a throwback to the 80s with that high scoring style of football. Malcolm Blight special. It's exactly what we want. We don't want to see, you know, 12 goals, winning score in good conditions. Hopefully the defensive lockdown coaching side of things has been put by the by, and we can get back to seeing those boys do what they do best, and that's play good hard tacking footy.
Excellent. Let's get stuck in, and we kick things off Thursday night at the MCG with Carlton and Richmond. Carlton getting a little over 2 goals, total points line around the 170 mark.
Couldn't find one here, mate, to be honest. I do, and apologies to anybody who is follower of these fine football establishments, but I expect both of these teams to finish in the bottom four at the end of the year. I can't see any significant improvement from an overall list gain on either club. As we've found out over the journey that we've gone down together, when you bet a game with two pretty shit teams, you very rarely come home with your money. So I'm going to sit this one out.
I couldn't get anywhere near the line for reasons you've outlined there. Going to bet the over here. 9 of the last 11 between these sides have broken 180. 10 of the last 11 have broken 175. Early season, you can go over in the night games. Round one games, 10-4 to the over in the last 5 years if you knock out the games at the Docklands. Good enough for me. I think there's space here, and I don't trust either side to be defensively stout. As you said, the preseason games went this way. Warm weather, good track. Over for me.
Perfect.
Friday night, we're back at the MCG for Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. Pies getting about 2.5 goals. Total points line, low to mid 170s.
Well, I was originally looking at the over in this game, and I'd pretty much committed to it, but I've just done a bit of an about face in the last 5 seconds.
As we do so often on this podcast.
Thinking about it a bit more, I mean, Collingwood, they're still without Jamie Elliott, who seems to have suffered some recurrence of that back injury, I believe, but he's definitely not playing this week. I'm just a little bit concerned about where Collingwood are going to find a score. Makes your forward line. I mean, it was Darcy Moore has still got some growing to do. I mean, what's the dickhead's name that nobody wanted? Jesse White. No. Sorry, Jesse. showed some good signs in the preseason, but again, that's the preseason. So he struggled when lumped with that primary forward target role last year.
Or with just regular season expectation in
any
general.
Any sort of expectation whatsoever Jesse struggled with, let's be honest. I do just struggle to see where they're going to find a score. Western Bulldogs in particular last year made their bones, especially in the first half of the year, by locking down their opponents. They had one of the best records of all time through the mid part, or up to the mid part of the season, for points conceded, and I don't see why they would move away from that formula going into this year on the strength, but they still have a great scoring capacity themselves. So on the strength of that, I'm going to go the Dogs at the minus, even though, as I'm sure you'll tell everyone more so through the course of the podcast, that favourites don't traditionally do super well in round one. I think the Bulldogs will be the one that get away with it this week, and they'll put a number up on Collingwood. So Doggies at the minus for me.
Yeah, I really struggled here. My first impressions were Dogs at the minus as well. Looking at the recent head-to-head history, though, Collingwood do have a capacity to play them pretty tight, including a couple of games last year, one decided by 3 goals, one decided by 1.5 goals. Early season trends are to the over, but the recent head-to-heads between these sides have tended to skew to low-scoring games. In particular, the only one in the last five at the MCG was 127 total. There's just enough in this for me to stay out on both counts.
Cool.
Saturday afternoon, we kick off at in the twilight game at 4:30 for some reason. We've got two of them rather than a 2 o'clock game. I don't understand that. But in any event, we're at the SCG for Sydney and Port Adelaide. Swans laying about 4.5 goals, total points line mid, low to mid 170s.
Yeah, Sydney, not a team I generally like to follow early in the year. They do fluctuate in their different game styles. I think Longmire's actually I won't say that he's a bit of a fence sitter when it comes to his overall game style, but they seem to have two very, very distinct game plans. One for the SCG and one for everywhere else. And if they run into an opposition that plays good hard inside football, which Port Adelaide have the capacity to do, that sort of quick ball movement that they try and do at the SCG and make use of that smaller ground does get found out a little bit, and it can be a stoppage fest. So if anything, probably lean towards the under in this game, but nothing at the line for me. It's just a bit too much. So I'm happy to sit this one out.
Yeah, this is a pretty easy walk away for me as well. Recent head-to-head history all over the shop. Swans have been winning the games, coupled by small margins, couple of trollopings, couple of very low-scoring games, couple of high-scoring games.
Trollopings?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the go.
And God knows what Port need to aim up this year.
Yeah, they do.
I think Ken Hinckley's job's on the line, but I just don't trust them to do anything much.
Well, you wouldn't call it a fall from grace at this point in time, but two years ago, he probably could have signed a 55-year contract if he wanted to, the big fella, the way he was going. So yeah. Something's not right at Port Adelaide, whether the players have lost a bit of faith or they're just not buying into the message. I'm not sure, but you can't achieve the results Ken Hinckley did and then that just dissipate overnight. Mm. So something's wrong within the player ranks there,
yep.
and they need to get on top of that pretty quick, otherwise they'll find themselves probably playing for 16th, I would imagine.
Mm. Second of the Saturday twilight games, and we're at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium for St Kilda in Melbourne. Saints laying 0.5 goal, if that, total points line, low 180s.
Yeah, look, I'm bullish on the D's this year, as people should be bullish. Fans of St Kilda and Melbourne both should both give themselves a real realistic crack at playing finals football this year, especially in the signs we saw last year. I think Melbourne have probably done a little bit more in the recruitment stakes from last year, and they've filled some much-needed gaps. Jordan Lewis, especially coming into that midfield with his experience, is going to do wonders for that young group. Petraka just looks to be an absolute bull. He could be, you know, top five midfielders in the competition if he keeps up his development, and that's even more impressive considering he sat out his first year with an ACL. So I really like the D's. And as a couple of my good mates are long-suffering Demons fans, I really hope they do well. But emotion aside, I think Melbourne should win this game. And if they are, again, I don't think St Kilda generally start 100 miles an hour at the start of the year. But it's going to be a really entertaining game of football to watch. And Melbourne just for me. So I'm going to take the points.
Well, I'm taking the other side here. I've got the Saints at the minus. Agree with all the points you made from a season-long perspective. I think both sides are in with a genuine crack at sneaking into the eight. Not convinced that St Kilda are any better chance to make it than Melbourne. This is purely based on the head-to-head history. Saints won both games last year by 6 goals. Plus, they play the Docklands far more often. They have an excellent record there. They've won the last 9 head-to-head against Melbourne, albeit you can pretty much discount anything more than 2 years old. But those two convincing wins last year for two sides that basically finished alongside each other on the ladder, I just think the matchup works for St Kilda here, and I'm going to lay the points.
Fair.
Saturday night, we're up at the Gold Coast at Metricon Stadium for the Suns and the Lions. The Suns laying a little over 3 goals, total points line mid 180s.
Throwback to the first game of the round where I said we generally don't bet.
Are these the other two that are going to finish bottom four?
Two shit teams. Well, I've got Port in there as well, so we'll have a bottom five this year, and it'll be everyone else is a legitimate chance to play finals. Mm. But I don't like anything about this game. It's going to be hot and humid, and there's a good chance it's going to piss down rain as well. So, walk away in a hurry.
Absolutely. Let's just go straight to the second of the Saturday night games. We're at the MCG for my Bombers against your Hawks. Bombers getting shy of two goals, total points line low 180s.
You jumped off the Bombers last year. Aren't you a GWS supporter now?
No,
all right. You're still with Bombers. Okay, good. Sorry, continue.
I did. we'll recap. Bombers getting about two goals, total points line low 180s.
Yeah, well, it will be an interesting game. Hawthorn obviously have made somewhat controversial moves at the end of last year, getting rid of club champions and bringing in some great midfielders in O'Meara and Mitchell, who both look really good through the preseason, and Ty Vickery, who I think can have a good year if Clarkson can get the best out of him. But obviously Essendon welcome back 14 of their best 22, so.
I'd expect them to be a run short, though, and probably a run short of genuine just match hardness for the first 4 to 6 weeks.
And for me, that would normally be enough. That would normally be enough, but you just cannot underestimate. I mean, you got to remember as well that Roughhead's playing his first game as captain of the football club, where 6 months ago, popular belief was that he would never play again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an emotion-charged match.
Mm.
Who probably settles quickest will probably get the running of it, and from there it'll be a bit of an arm wrestle. It's just going to be really interesting to see with Essendon whether the emotion of the last 4 years is just a bit too much for them to overcome, or if they ride that wave to a breakthrough performance. And a lot of people are backing Essendon to make the eight this year. Mm. I personally just can't see it happening.
No, neither.
But that being said, they can give themselves a really good head start on that with a big performance here. But it's going to come down to, I think, who handles the emotion best. And because that's such an underlying factor of the momentum of the game, it's an easy walk away from me.
Yeah, I can't get anywhere near this one either. Interestingly, recent head-to-head history, two really close games, both low scoring. Two massive wins for Hawthorn, both high scoring. So I think if you were to play one of those line and total doubles that bookies will offer you around 340, 350 or thereabouts, I think you either want the plus and the under or the minus and the over.
Yeah.
But I think they're the only combinations, and I'm not sure which way this will roll. My inclination is minus and over, but I'm not laying my own team. We move to Sunday, and the first game of the afternoon is at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium, North Melbourne hosting West Coast. North getting about three goals, total points line, low 180s.
Yeah, Etihad is traditionally a high-scoring venue. North Melbourne would be interesting to see what sort of team they put in the paddock. Obviously, they shed a lot of senior players at the end of last year, so they'll want to show that they've actually built a team, or that there was some justification for making those decisions by coming out with a strong performance. One of those players will most likely be playing for West Coast in what was already a pretty bloody dominant forward line in Drew Petrie. So whether or not he actually plays, or if they're just a little bit too tall, it'll be interesting to see. But given his capacity to go through the ruck, I do expect him to play, considering Nathan Newey is going to be out for the better part of the year.
Yep.
West Coast love playing well. Anywhere other than Paterson Stadium, they love bloody playing at Etihad, because it's just a hard-running surface. I think that their midfield, the players who've needed to play inside to help Pritis, the likes of your Shoeys and your Mastons and these sorts of guys, Andrew Gaff as well, they won't have to spend anywhere near as much time at the coalface this year with Sam Mitchell there to help Pritis. And with those guys firing out handballs to that harder on the outside, they could be a very explosive unit from the midfield. They get quick service to their forward line. These guys could average 140 points across the course of the season. That's it's pretty scary to see what they've got. Plus, they've got a very solid defence. So, look, I think West Coast to win easy, but rather than play the line, I'm going to assume that the total is going to be obliterated. I think this is a 200-plus game.
Okay, coming to my most useful round one stat here, because I'm going to use it for the next three games, so pay attention. Interstate favourites in the opening round of the season in the last 5 years, 3-9 against the spread. When they've been favoured by 2 goals or more, 1-7 against the spread. I'm having North. West Coast only covered 3 of 10 on the road last year, 1 of 5 as road favourites. They love smacking bad sides at home, and I think they'll do that a lot this year. That's where they'll run up those big 150, 160 scores when you poor Brisbane Lions or Gold Coast or Port Adelaide or something goes to Subi, all hell might break loose. North can win this game for mine. Recent head-to-head history, West dominated by West Coast at Subiaco. The only two out of Perth have both been in Tassie. North won one of them and lost the other one by 2 points.
I'll give you, they're offering 3-10 head-to-head. I'll give you $4.
I'll be involved in that.
20?
Yep, done.
Done. North Melbourne can't win this game.
I reckon they can. I'm certainly taking the 3 goals for the purposes of the line.
Well, one way or the other, next time we're live on the potty, you'll hear some crisply folded being moved one way or the other. So we'll be shuffling those.
Second of the Sunday afternoon games is at the Adelaide Oval. The Crows hosting GWS in what I think is the game of the round. Crows getting a goal to a goal and a half, depending on where you're shopping. Total points line high 180s.
Yeah, look, these are two pretty explosive sides, aren't they? I mean, GWS, the flag favourites, arguably deserved. I think just from a pure list profile, they definitely deserve to be the flag favourites. Mm. Whether or not they can get it done in September, still being a pretty young and inexperienced list, is a question that begs asking, and whether it's a big enough question to take the $5 on offer for him to win the flag. For me, generally, anything around that $5 mark is probably a little bit too short in a season-long race for a premiership. But geez, these sides play some good, solid footy on the outside. So Adelaide, conducive to high scoring. It's supposed to be a beautiful day over there come Sunday. I think this is going to be a big overs game. I expect this to go well in excess of 200 as well. So happy to take the over on this one.
Yep, I'm with you on the over here. Round one trends to the over across the board, particularly in day games. Crows always trend that way. They trend to the over as underdogs. Very happy to have that. Also happy to have the Crows. 8.5 was the best number I could find. Home underdogs. They've covered the last 3 times they've been in that situation. There were only 3 times they were home dogs last year. They got it done every time. They beat GWS by 4 goals at home last year. And I think GWS deserve to be premiership favourites, but I don't think they're 4 goals better, or 3.5 to 4 goals better than Adelaide, and that's what this line suggests.
Yeah, that's cool.
I would say at a neutral venue, they'd go up a goal to a goal and a half favourite, but not in Adelaide, and that's good enough for me. I think this line's at least 1.5 to 2 goals wrong, and I'm happy to take the points.
Look at the big fella go.
Final game of the week. We're over at Subiaco Domain Stadium for Fremantle and Geelong. Dockers getting a little over 2 goals. Total points line, mid-160s.
Yeah, look, I just can't get enthusiastic about Fremantle now that Pavlich is retired. It was the only reason I like that football club.
Harley Bunnell. Where do they go
is
there?
Is he playing? Is he still... He's got his 4.5-year-long calf injury, which read into that whatever you want.
Mm. He's probably due for round one. He'll play 3 games and that'll be his season done.
Well, Valentine's out as well. They just lack firepower. I will be interested to see how Cam McCarthy goes. I did have a cheeky side bet with a colleague of mine about his potential this year. I think he has the potential to kick 50 goals plus for them, which will be a massive boost. Playing as their primary forward. He kicked 35 for GW a couple of years ago, playing as the third forward in that unit. So he's got a lot of upside, and they'll definitely funnel a lot of attack through him, and I think he's got the tools to handle that. But that being said, I'm not really interested in this game. I don't know if I'll even watch it. Of course I'll watch it. It's round one, I couldn't get enthusiastic about anything on the board.
Yeah, I've got Freo Plus just on the back of that taking a set against interstate favourites in round one. Fremantle had their dramas. Geelong lost a few too, and they're not quite where they necessarily would have been last year, and they've lost a bit of that experience and how quickly they can top up. I think this is a trap game for them, a road game against a side who notionally shouldn't be that good.
Yeah,
and you know, Fife and Bennell and McCarthy and a number of others would have to fire to put the Dockers back in the eight. I think they're more likely to miss than make.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. They're not making the eight. There's no way they're making the eight.
But there's enough here that I could see Geelong either scraping across the line and winning really ugly, or getting rolled.
Wow, that's a big call. Big call.
Round one's weird like that. You have to find a couple in round one. They never run to script.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think Sunday's the time to do it. So a total of six for me in the end. The over in the Carlton Richmond game, Saints at the minus, North Adelaide, Freo at the plus, and the over in the Adelaide GWS game.
Four for me. I've got the Doggies at the minus, Melbourne at the plus, and both overs in both North West Coast and Adelaide GWS.
There we are. Good luck and good punting, folks.
Get around it. Round one, you'll be your team.